It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning.
We've got it all covered for you right here.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
Are you a tomato or a barbecue sauce?
Look, I hate barbecue sauce.
Too sweet?
The most rank thing.
Is it?
This
I'm a spicy red meat.
Is Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Oh, good morning to you all. Welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends with you every Saturday from 10 o'clock, and we're all in lockdown. 19 cases recorded in Victoria today. The New South Wales tally to be released at 11 a.m. But good morning to you mask wearers, Joey and Jay.
Good morning, Em. Morning, Jay. Morning, Blakey. Yes, we're all in it together once again, unfortunately, Em. But we want to ask how you are going, because we heard the news during the week, or we saw on your Instagram, that you are now going to be hosting the Olympic Games. And sure, you've been given the whole 6 days to prep for the whole Olympic Games. Every sport, you need to be across every thing. How is the prep going? Congratulations, first
thank
of all.
You guys.
And just tell me, which sport is the freaking you out the most? Which one is the hardest to understand? What is happening? Who are the favourites? Yeah. And how are you going to pronounce some of those names from Iran and Turkey?
The modern pentathlon's giving me chills.
Yes.
And I think there's sports like handball and archery that I'm not too across, but you're right.
Handball? That's an easy one. You just got to throw the ball into the back of the net.
Yeah. Do you know how long that goes for as well? I didn't realise those games actually go for longer than I thought. No, the prep's going good, but in lockdown, I'm sure you can understand. Charlie's working from home from Edie's room, so that's heaps fun. I'm working from the kitchen table. Will's two and Edie's 9 months old, and we're all in this little wonderful bubble where we've all got a cold, by the way, and we've been COVID tested. We're free of that, but it's just been like, it's great fun and I'm so excited, but a hard week to get my head around it all. But you're right, the games kick off 1 week today, and I'm very excited to be part of the Seven coverage, boys.
In all seriousness, I mean, I can't wait for the basketball, because the Boomers are a serious chance to medal. We know the Dream Team have been hit by COVID and there's all sorts of dramas there. But what are you most looking forward to, Em? Is there a particular event that's top of your list that you can't wait for?
I think the swimming's going to be great. You know, hopefully seeing Ariane Titmus win a couple of medals, and Kate Campbell, hopefully she can get that elusive individual gold in the athletics. You know, could we see the 100 metres for the women broken? That's a really big one for me going into the games. And then I think I agree with the basketball. We're a great shot both on the men's and the women's side. And I've started my preparations also with a lot of the cycling, with the road race. So Richie Port obviously going in as one of the favourites. And the golf, but Leash last night. Did you see what Mark Leishman did last night at the Open?
No.
He snapped his putter in complete frustration with just these two hands.
Wow. Really?
Complete meltdown.
Hulk style.
In going into the second round.
That doesn't seem like Leash. He seems really cool as a cucumber, Mark Leishman.
He lost the plot last night. So that'll be interesting as well. But yeah, it's just, I can't believe, you know, we had to postpone the games, obviously, from last year from COVID, and we're here. And I think the last couple of weeks probably forgot about the games really coming up, but now they're here and I feel there's a swell of enthusiasm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Despite the empty stands.
Yeah, it doesn't matter about that. We'll get over that pretty quickly. Hey, coming up on the show today, this is a big one. In her only interview this week, jockey superstar Jamie Carr is going to join us after notching up 100 Metro wins for the season last weekend. Ryan Hoffman from the Melbourne Storm ahead of their clash tonight with Newcastle. Now, this one I'm also looking forward to. Joey's going to name the 5 players he'd take on a footy dream.
Yep.
It's going to get fast and loose, Joey.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun. Bring back nice memories.
Yeah. And Greg Russ with the Supercars update as well, thanks to Bendix Brakes. Big news out of last night with Richmond superstar Dustin Martin headed to hospital after the game on the Gold Coast after a big collision with Brisbane's Mitch Robinson. Jay, this doesn't sound good. What's the latest with Dusty?
Yeah, there's a big update on it, Em and Joey, because he's still in hospital, the superstar midfielder. So initially last night, they sent him to hospital for scans, largely as a precaution, making sure his internal organs were okay. It was a bone-crunching collision with Mitch Robinson, which we saw last night in the Tigers' win. But there is not good news on this front, because he's suffered kidney damage. The absolute champion ball winner. So Richmond is expected to fly back to Melbourne today. That is despite the 19 new cases of COVID in Victoria. But Dustin Martin at this stage is expected to remain up there in Queensland under medical supervision as they essentially look after his kidney. So they've said there's kidney damage at this stage. That would suggest there could be some internal bleeding or some damage to that kidney. There could be some blood there. So the Tigers, we know, will take absolute precaution with this. This is a very serious injury. Remember, was it Geelong's Tom Lonergan, Joey?
Lost the kidney.
Who lost the kidney, and he almost lost his life in that situation. So you don't want to overplay it, but it's not good news for Richmond. He will stay up there indefinitely at this stage. They'll take total care of Dustin Martin and get him back to full health. And when he is safe to fly, he will come down, or he could potentially even have to drive.
Drive back,
And with the COVID protocols there, whether he can go through New South
through
Wales,
Sydney,
even via Australia. I mean, it's a can of worms there, but clearly the club have got his absolute health first. He's in great hands, I'm sure, up there in Queensland. But they were hopeful it was just a little rib injury, maybe a fractured rib or something like that. It's not. It's worse than that. It's kidney damage. And, you know, it's not good news.
That's big news.
Yeah, Dustin Martin. And so Richmond, we saw them win last night, and we'll get to their form in a second, Joe. But just a quick thought, you know, Richmond trying to secure a final spot without Dustin Martin, you'd think for a little while now.
Yeah.
How big a blow is that for the Tigers in there?
Of course, it's a massive blow. I mean, he's the second best or first best player in the competition. So that's huge. But I'm sure they will put his health and safety first. They will, particularly with organs. You're not going to take any risks with that, you know. And Richmond are a side that have always been able to play with players that, you know, aren't in the side. They've always been next man up. They'll do that again. But yeah, I wouldn't expect them to try and rush Dustin back at all to try and sneak in the eighth spot. That's not the Richmond way. That's not what you're going to do with your most valuable commodity. We wish him well. Yep. It would be uncomfortable for him. It'd be a little bit scary as well, I would have thought. So hopefully he's okay.
Your next door neighbour is his...
His brother. Yeah. Brother? Well, he used to be. Now I've moved from the
hood. That's right.
I've moved
from
the hood. But I've lived next to...
God, you have a whole host of neighbours.
Lived next to Dustin.
Dusty's
for a while.
Brother. And then you've got the helpful neighbour who, you know, puts up trampolines and stuff like that.
Yeah, so wish him well.
Richmond face Geelong next week in the grand final rematch. Obviously, with this COVID situation all across Victoria and in New South Wales as well, where's that going to be played?
Yeah, there's a huge question mark over the next round, because there is absolutely uncertainty. The league may have to retweak not only the venues, but the actual games themselves. I think Fremantle is due to play Sydney down in Geelong, which may or may not happen depending on the West Australian border situation at the moment. Now, Geelong is requested to play Richmond down there at GMHBA Stadium. It is fixtured to play at the MCG, but given that there could be little crowds or no crowds, more likely at this stage, Joey, they want to play that game down at Geelong. And last night, Richmond coach Damien Hardwick said he'd be fine with that.
Oh, completely understandable. You know, obviously it's their home games and with a limited crowd, so I can understand that. And once again, we're happy to play anywhere, anytime. So, you know, we've travelled a fair bit this year, so it's not going to hold any fears for us. We really look forward to it, the challenge of beating them on their home deck.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? The only reason Geelong home game at the MCG was because of the crowd you were going to get from a grand final rematch.
Yep.
You're not going to get that crowd. It makes sense to play it at GMHBA. But there is talk, Jay-Z, AFL might even have to restructure the whole next round in regards to teams might have to play different teams to who they were planning.
Yep.
Which, geez, that compromises the integrity when you've got 13 teams fighting for a couple of spots in the eight. Yes. That's a huge ramifications for this season.
So worst case scenario, the AFL does have that pre-finals buy up their sleeve. So if they need a week's reset, they could bring
that
forward.
Use it early.
They would try to avoid that, but that extra week
that helps.
That can give them a potential buffer zone.
A lot to talk about this morning. We're going to get to Richmond's win, which was a great one, 20 points over Brisbane last night in Jack Riewoldt's 300th game. He kicked a bag of six. We'll talk about that soon. But next, really excited to have racing superstar Jamie Carr with us after achieving a remarkable feat last weekend. That is a three-time Dead Set Legend of the week. No, that wasn't the thing that she was super excited about. It was 100 Metro wins for the season. Jamie with us next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
It won't be long. Watch sport at their house.
So yeah, we literally all we do is
look between the golf and the races and the
dreamboat.
I know you're jealous.
absolutely.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Now, every racing fan in Australia was watching last weekend to see Jamie Carr become the first jockey in Australian history to win 100 Metro races for the season. It's an incredible achievement and one of them that we were all so happy to witness over the course of the weekend. Jamie has been kind enough to jump on the line to us now as she makes her way to Flemington for today's racing. Jamie, you know we're big fans here, but congratulations on last weekend. It seemed like it was a bit of a weight off your shoulders when you notched up that 100th win in the second race of the day.
Yeah, thanks Emma, thanks for having me on, and it was a massive relief. I knew it was going to happen. I had plenty of meetings left, but everyone was putting a lot of pressure on me to have it done that day, but a big relief when it happened.
Oh, congratulations, Jamie. I think to see them, you know, on the next day, to see yourself and Ash Barty on the front page of the paper, you know, both celebrating these incredible sporting achievements, we just absolutely take our hats off to you. But tell us about the special powers in the bangle that your fiancé gave you, because funnily enough, you said that in a great story by Gilbert Gardner, you said that you didn't wear it on the Wednesday when you didn't have the luck, and then you put it back on for Saturday, and sure enough, the double at Caulfield. So tell us a bit about this bangle.
Oh, yeah, look, I was looking for anything to give me some luck for Saturday, that was for sure. But I was thinking, I was putting it on a Saturday morning, and I thought, I didn't have this on Wednesday. Maybe that was my bad luck, so I'll take anything at that stage. But no, it was pretty surreal to see myself on the front page with Ash. That was, for 2 days in a row, actually. That was pretty crazy.
I know, Jamie, you said post-race that you didn't let your family come to the races because you didn't want them to jinx you, so you didn't get to celebrate or anything with them there. What about after the meeting, Saturday night? Were you able to have a wine or have a beer? And were you able to stay up and watch Ash Barty in what was such a historic day in Australian sport? How did you sort of enjoy the night once the dust had settled on the day?
Yeah, no, I had a few wines and did enjoy myself, but I didn't stay up long enough. I'm not very good at these late nights.
I can imagine.
The next morning, I saw she won, and it was a great day. But no, I'm pretty quiet nowadays. I have to get up too early.
Yeah, I
love
it
that she's one of us. She'll have a glass of wine after a hard day's work, and that's exactly why we love her. Jamie, you've notched up the 100 wins, which is a milestone. But looking forward, what's the next big goal that you want to tick off? Is it a number of Group 1s in a season? Is it a cup or a derby? What's that next big thing that's in your sight?
Oh, probably my next short-term goal just would be through spring. I'd love to win a major. I think that's every jockey's dream, and I'm not fussy on which one, but I was lucky enough to ride in most of them last year, so if I could tick that off this season, it'd be an amazing sort of 24 months, definitely.
Jamie, you've made a bit of a habit of crossing the line first, obviously, over the past year. What was it like when you hit the line? So when you got the 100th, did you feel the exhilaration that we were all feeling?
Yeah, it was very different to, you know, just any other win. I heard the crowd at the 200, they started screaming and my horse was sort of tiring, but crossing that line, I was a little bit unsure whether I definitely got it, but just to hear the crowd scream, it sort of confirms it to me, and I actually got goosebumps all at my arms. It was quite a strange feeling. I think it was just that relief and all the emotions all in one. It was that was a pretty cool feeling, trotting back to the mounting yard and just on a winter race day at Caulfield. The crowd was massive, and it was just really good to hear that sound again.
Hey, Jamie, looking ahead to today, my mates will kill me if I don't ask you because we can't have Jamie on and not ask
listen
her.
To him, Jamie,
you
honestly.
Have a, you have another beautiful book of... I'm just having a look. You have another beautiful book of rides today. You've got plenty of chances. Dirty Thoughts in race 7 looks like one of the better bets. But can you tell us which one are you most confident sitting on this afternoon?
Well, look, I'm not completely really confident going in today. I think I've got a few nice ones, but nothing I'd say is certainty. I do like... South Pacific in race 8, but I think I reckon Mick Kent is quite a nice chance in race 6 for mine. It's probably not one of the shorter ones as well. I think it wasn't good enough last start, so I think honestly probably not a bad chance.
Well, I just back whatever Jamie's right. Every
that's
race,
that's what everyone does.
It's a simple formula, isn't it?
That's all I do. Hey, Jamie, I'm not sure if you've heard the news. Emma now is basically the front person for Channel 7's Olympic coverage.
No,
she's hosting
not
the
true.
Whole 2 weeks. She thinks she's Bruce McAvaney.
Photos about it the other day.
Yeah, and the preparation's been phenomenal. We can't wait for her coverage. Now, remember we spoke to you last time. You said you got a keen interest in equestrian, and potentially that could be something for you down the track. Are you? Is that something that you'll watch closely as Emma's hosting the coverage magnificently?
I will definitely. I love watching equestrian at Olympics, and it's a little dream of mine. I'm not sure I'll get there one day, but I'll be watching and listening for sure.
Well, tell you what, some of those Olympians going around in the equestrian, Jamie, they're not in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s. They're in their 50s and 60s. So you've got plenty of time to transition out of racing and back into show jumping or eventing or whatever it is.
I think at that age I'll have my feet up on the couch.
That's exactly right, Jamie. Hey, last weekend was just a really momentous occasion in Australian sport. Wow. I was at home with my family as we're in lockdown and watched it with my little boy. Yep. He was giving you a clap. He just, you know, he loves watching the nay-nays, and it was just a really special time, and we're glad that you got to celebrate it. But we know what you like. On to the next big thing, and we can't wait to see what you achieve come Spring Carnival.
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Jamie.
Jamie Carr there, jockey superstar, and she's
goosebumps.
Just going to set the world on fire.
Listening to her talk about hearing the crowd roar at the 200-metre mark and her getting that exhilaration that we felt as well, I could listen to that stuff all day. What a champion.
And that's what this show is all about, celebrating our Dead Set Legends.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Hey, let's just recap that big news. Dustin Martin with kidney damage after that big collision with Mitch Robinson last night. Richmond flying back to Melbourne today without him as he remains in hospital. We're unsure how long he will be out for, but fair to say, Jay-Z, that he will spend some time on the sidelines with that injury.
Yeah, you'd think so. Not even sure when he's going to be able to get back to Victoria now. So certainly, hopefully he's back soon enough. But with kidney damage, you know the doctors will be taking every precaution, but certainly not the news Richmond wanted out of last night. But what a win. This 20-point win over Brisbane, it was the twist in the season that I was hoping would happen as the reigning premier sort of roars back to life with a big win over another premiership fancy. Yes, they are missing Marcus Adams and Eric Hipwood. Brisbane, there was a lot to like with the Tigers. Your initial thoughts, Joey, do we think this is the spark in Richmond's season that can help catapult them back into that team that we've seen dominate for the best part of the past 4 years?
Yeah, look, first of all, they were excellent last night. They played back to the Richmond sort of brand that we've known, the surge football, their pressure, their forward pressure was very good. I'm still going to hold fire on whether they're back. Yep. I'm not one to sort of overreact either, whether a team loses or a team wins. Because we know in AFL football, everyone's best is good enough. That does my head in when coaches say that our best is good enough. Every team's best is good enough. The challenge with AFL football is you have to play close to your best most weeks, or more often than not, to be up near the top of the ladder. Now, Richmond played near their best last night. Can they do it every week from here on in and challenge for a flag? I think it's highly unlikely. But it was just that little spanner in the works and that unpredictability that we were hoping, I suppose, for. We've got now. But again, they've got a big challenge against the Cats next week. And, you know, if Richmond lose by 20, 30 points to Geelong, who are flying, you know, what do we say about Richmond then? So I think we hold fire. But certainly it's made it more interesting. And I think it's better for the competition when Richmond are winning and are still just flirting with everybody and just making everybody in the top
big
eight nervous.
They are.
They are a big tease. And they're making everybody in the top eight nervous at the moment. And certainly the teams around them that are fighting for a spot in the eighth. I think it's great for the comp.
I'd love to see them get into eighth and then take on fifth in an elimination final because they would be the most nervous team in football.
Well, what if Brisbane might finish fifth, and it might be the exact scenario that we had last night, Port Adelaide as well.
Even you never know, Melbourne then could. Anyway, it's going to be super fascinating. There's so many interesting strands to this Richmond performance. You know, Daniel Rioli, doesn't he look good on a half-back flank? He's got some moves back there, which I really like. Kane Lambert shows how much difference he can make. Shane Edwards can come back this weekend for the clash against Geelong. And then how could you miss Jack Riewoldt, 6 goals in his 300th game? Yeah. Unbelievable. Marby Orchol is out of contract. Gold Coast love him. Kicks 4 as well. Really smooth and versatile Mabi Ochoa. But what about Toby Nankervis and the difference he makes? Is this guy the most unheralded player in the competition? I mean, he's, you know, 195 metres gained, of course, last night, but 7 clearances, 10 intercepts, 130 rankings points, 22 touches. We don't talk about this guy enough, Joey.
No, we don't. He's probably the most underrated barometer in the competition. Yep. But the funny thing is, Richmond do talk about him, and we sort of, it's a little bit like the St Kilda discussion. Well, when we get Rowan Marshall and Paddy Ryder, we're a better side, and we sort of roll our eyes a little bit and say, yeah, okay, I mean, that's an excuse. And Richmond have said the same. Yep. Nankervis is so important. But when you actually see the influence that he has in that side, it is significant. And then the flow-on effect is Mabi Ochoa, who doesn't have the capabilities to be a number one ruck at the moment. He doesn't have the tank. But he can play mainly as a forward, pinch hit in the ruck. Mm. He looks much better. Nankervis with that presence, a bit like Shane Mumford has when he's up and about for the Giants. They just have a presence about them, and he was so influential last night. It was amazing.
Nank the Tanky, probably the best recruiting move of the past 10 years. Like, it's just been such a successful move for the Richmond Football Club. Let's have a listen to the Richmond coach, Damien Hardwick, on his superstar Ruckman's performance last night.
He's so important the way we play, Toby. He's a bit of a barometer. I said that prior to the game, and, you know, the way he leads from the front. Now guys certainly walk taller having him in the side.
And Jack Riewoldt also kicked 6 in his 300th game, Joey. Not a bad milestone sort of performance when they were late to the ground. I think he had Hungry Jacks or something on the way up there. So a phenomenal night for Jack, who relished the spotlight. Also the coach on the full forward last night.
I didn't even realise he kicked 6 until someone said this is for it. But it was terrific. And, you know, we realise what a quality player he is, but to see that sort of game when he's 300 was very nice.
Early pick one, Joey, and we'll get your answer maybe in the second hour. If you had to pick one full forward between Tom Hawkins and Jack Riewoldt, who do you think has been the better player over their career? Jack Riewoldt or Tom Hawkins? Oh, he's got his head in his hands. This is a good one.
I did see this week that Tom is one of only a handful of players that have kicked over 40 goals for 10 years consecutively, which is just an incredible... Look at him. He's really stressing over it.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
We'll give you some time to marinate on that. Hey, also coming up in the second hour, I cannot wait for this. Joey's going to name the 5 players he'd take on a footy trip. We've had a little bit of a preview, and wowzers, there are some beauties in there. Around 18 of the NRL, the Storm are continuing their charge towards finals, albeit in very weird circumstances with COVID forcing relocations all over the place. We love having assistant coach Ryan Hoffman join us on the program, and he's been good enough to jump on the phone this morning. Hoffy, good morning to you. Now, can you give us the latest as to what's happening with the Storm with this this Melbourne outbreak of COVID-19 over the last couple of days? What's the plan going forward for the boys?
G'day, Em. I don't actually know. I don't think anyone knows, to be honest. But no, look, at where it stands at the moment, the boys went, obviously, we got told we had to leave in 3 hours. So all the boys packed up, and we the boys went up to Brisbane. We had to drop our staff and squad sizes. We're now down to just 30 players and 11 staff. So we've really trimmed the group right up. So at the moment in Brisbane, go to the Gold Coast for the game tonight, and then Sunday, who knows what. We're still not quite sure where we're going to be come Sunday. But look, one thing this group has been is very resilient, and whatever happens, you just roll with it, because, you know, there's no point complaining about things. You just move on, get the job done.
And let's be honest, I mean, we've all got so much respect for how the Melbourne Storm handled this last year. I mean, it was a phenomenal championship run last year. Hoffy, is there any clarity on families? That seems to be, you know, one of the big issues in AFL with the hubs at the moment, and something that causes a lot of distress. Is there, are families allowed to go? Have they gone? Is there any clarity there?
Yeah, the families that wanted to go, that they obviously got told the same short notice. If they wanted to drop everything and come with everyone, they could. So because at that stage the borders weren't shut to Victoria,
that's good.
And Victoria wasn't under any type of lockdown, so So they managed to get out before that. So, yeah, the families are up there with them, and, you know, the families are under no restrictions or anything like that. So I only think there's a handful of families that are still in Melbourne, which is good. Those families also know if they do eventually want to come up, they're going to have to do the 2 weeks quarantine.
Mm. Yeah, that's good news there. Hey, the game tonight, though, against the Newcastle Knights, another big game. And I'll tell you what, when Kalyn Ponga is up and about in the Origin, he's some sort of talent. I mean, how good was he for Queensland to win that game 3 against all odds? And how are we going to try and stop him tonight?
Yeah, I think Origin seems to have played him in the form, which isn't good for us. But look, he's always been a quality player. He's really been hampered with injuries sort of the last couple of years. So I don't think we've seen the best of Kalyn, but he's certainly in a bit of form now. And for the Knights, that's good. Look, for us, we just need to get numbers around him. And in the end, good attacking players, if you're not giving them the ball as much, you're putting yourself in good stead. So it's making sure that we're completing our sets.
We're chatting to Storm assistant coach Ryan Hoffman this morning. Hoffy, how have your Origin players pulled up after Wednesday night, both injury-wise and hangover-wise?
The boys, Josh and Christian Welsh are no good. Welsh picked up a real nasty cork on his knee that's just above his knee, that's bled into his knee. So he's going to be no good. And Joshy had his ribs put in the row 3.
Yeah, that was nasty, wasn't it?
Yeah, by former Storm player Tino Fasulmalawi. So Joshy needs to rest up those ribs.
Hey, and Hoff, just on a slightly different issue, am I right in thinking that your cousin has been involved in a shark attack?
Yeah, that's right. My cousin Joe, he was attacked by a shark up there in Crescent Head.
Is he all right?
Last week, he's got a long road ahead. He's still with us, which is the main thing. But he has a long road ahead in terms of recovery. He's currently undergoing a number of operations to try and save his arm. And look, he's a real tough, resilient kid. His family are wonderful people. They're constantly maintaining a bedside vigil for him. So we're constantly getting updates on him. But yeah, it's not good for what is a real gentle soul of a bloke.
Have you got a fundraiser or anything you can point?
Yeah, there's a GoFundMe page on GoFundMe. Look, Joe's going to need extensive surgery on his arm going forward, he's going to need a lot of rehabilitation. So anyway, people can help, just go to GoFundMe and look up Joe Hoffman Shark Encounter, and I'm sure it'd be great if people could assist.
Oh, Hoffy, I'm so sorry to hear that. That's awful news, but we're wishing you guys the best of luck and sending him all our love in this tough time. But that's not good news at all. What is good news, I guess, is you guys sitting on top of the ladder. And as always, we wish you the best of luck tonight and for the rest of the season.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Hoff.
The Dead Set Legends. Triple M. Rusty's Motorsport Update for Bendix. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Yeah, on the line now is our good mate Greg Rust from Rusty's Garage Podcast, available for free on the Listener app. Well, good morning to you, Rusty. Now, the supercars, they're staying up in Townsville for another weekend of racing, all COVID-related. What's the latest there?
Emma, good morning to you. Yeah, so back-to-back makes sense given what's happening on the east coast of Australia. Probably the toughest news to come out this week is that the Sydney Supernight race, which has got a bit of a NASCAR flavour to it, under lights, everyone very excited about it. That was around about the 20th of August. That has had to be postponed. We're all pretty gutted about that. So another weekend of racing there, different format to last weekend. So qualifying coming up just after lunch today, race 17 of the championship this afternoon, another two races tomorrow. And as you know, Shane Van Gisbergen on top at the moment, doing a mighty job. He leads the series by 245 points.
Speaking of different formats, Rusty, Formula One is in the UK for the British Grand Prix. Has this new qualifying race concept been well received by the fans? What do you think?
I'm a bit old school. I love the purest nature of a qualifying session on the Saturday and the race on the Sunday. But you know what? I'm going to have to eat humble pie here. All sports at the moment are trying different things, aren't they? And we've got to sort of embrace that. So basically, yesterday we had a practice session, a pre-qualifying, and Lewis Hamilton was on top there from Max Verstappen. Dan Ricciardo, seventh, and importantly, only a thousandth of a second off his teammates. So they're very close there, which is good. They have a sprint race tonight, a 17-lapper, which effectively sets things up for the Grand Prix tomorrow. So something very different. And from what I've seen on social media so far, people have embraced this. I think they're really looking forward to it. And it's another reason, guys, isn't it, to tune in on a Friday or a Saturday to see what's happening.
Yeah, spot on, Rusty. Hey, and just off the track, is the Australian motorsport community getting behind one of its own? Because I believe there is a contestant on Beauty and the Geek.
I'm a little concerned. You're a big Beauty and the Geek fan,
love
aren't
it.
You?
Love it.
So, in short, his name is Lachie Mansell. I've spent a bit of time with him in the press room over the years. He runs a PR agency, has done some stuff on the big screen with commentary and things like that. Lovely guy by nature, in his early 30s, can name every Bathurst winner dating back to 1960 without even having to dive into the stat book.
That's real geeky behaviour.
Good luck to him. He's put himself out there in a way that you and I would not have the bravado to do. Lovely bloke, and that's great to see so much support from the Aussie motorsport community for him. And a little shout-out to you too, Emma. I spotted something on Instagram, some late-night study for the Olympics. Go well.
Oh, thanks, Rusty. Yes, it was a bit of a last-minute call-up. So the study is fast and furious, but I never thought that Greg Rust would not only be our motorsport correspondent, but also our reality TV correspondent. Terrific, mate. Absolutely love it. We'll chat to you next week.
Look forward to it.
Rusty's Motorsport Update for Bendix. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Jay-Z, some basketball news. The NBA, have you been watching that? Oh, great effort by the Bucks to level the series 2-2. They've won the last two. They were both in Milwaukee. So game 5 tomorrow, 11 a.m. back in Phoenix. Who do you see winning the series from here?
Bucks. I thought they might have been in a little trouble, but Giannis Antetokounmpo has just been absolutely massive. And if he's Batman, then Chris Middleton is Robin, and he played a heck of a game in game 4 to tie that up at 2-2. Got a little investment on the Bucks.
Of course you do.
Huge game 5. The winner of game 5 generally wins these series. So that's huge tomorrow morning. Hey, of course, the Boomers were meant to play the USA team in another warm-up game. That has been cancelled because Bradley Beal has come under a COVID cloud. So he's out of the Olympics, which has meant the entire Team USA squad has gone into quarantine until they produce 2 negative results. And also the Boomers squad have all been sent for testing. So before we get your thoughts on that, I like it from the perspective that we don't get to play the USA again because I don't want the USA to scout. I don't want them to get a handle on the Aussies. We beat them a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I don't want the US to get another look at the Boomers. I want us to surprise them in the gold medal game. But big news, though, for Team USA.
And the concern has to be for the Boomers because we just played Bradley Beal. He played in that game, didn't he? So then there would be, there would be some concern over the test for the Aussie players as well. So fingers crossed that they're all okay. But that was a great result, and you just wouldn't you love to see a gold medal playoff Australia versus the Dream Team, because we have the we may not have the superstar talent or the top end talent. We've got the chemistry and the cohesion and the energy, Joey.
Of course, the British Open is on at the moment. Been nice to watch some golf. Not starting too late. We get it from the afternoon onwards, isn't it?
Speaking of betting.
Louis Oosthuizen. Yeah, speaking of betting, I did have a few dollars on Colin Morikawa, who's just sitting pretty top of the leaderboard. But Louis Oosthuizen is leading. He is 11 under. Morikawa is 9 under. Mm-hmm. Cam Smith is the best of the Aussies. He's in with a chance. He's 4 under. But we're going to need Louis Oosthuizen to just fall away like he did the last tournament if we are to win. And, of course, to cricket quickly, the West Indies, Australia, we finally won one of our T20 games. It took Mitch Marsh to hit 75 and take 3 for 24 because we are playing ordinary T20 cricket with the World Cup coming up.
Well, there's plenty happening in the world of sport, and we'll address it, as always, after 11, our Round 18 preview, and Limo to call by as well, coming up on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
Yeah, they can put down their shovels, the grave diggers, because I am still here and still you're stuck with me on Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Thanks for joining us. A big second hour coming up, our Round 18 preview, but also Joey is going to name the 5 players he'd take on a footy trip. Everyone has their role to play, and there's a few madmen that have to get in there and really ruffle feathers and lead people astray. He'll do that a little later in the show. But, Jay-Z, you gave Joey, I reckon, one of the toughest pick ones of 2021 before.
Yeah, Joey, what do you think? Who's had the better career, the 300 game man Jack Riewoldt from Richmond or the Geelong superstar Tommy Hawkins? Pick one, Joey.
I don't like it because I'm an unashamed Tom Hawkins fan. I think he's amazing as a player. I've loved Tom Hawkins getting better as he's getting older. But when you break it down... when you break it down, let me just quickly read this out. So Tom Hawkins, it's not a bad career. Just the two flags, a Coleman medal, three All-Australians and a BNF.
Yep.
He's on the 629 goals. He's coming up to 300 games. But Jack, three flags, three All-Australians, three Coleman medals and two BNFs.
Yeah.
Sung with the Killers. And even the fairy tale, like even Jack kicking six in game 300, like who gets a fairy tale like that?
The
you
screamers.
Know? The, you know, the hangers. And
yep.
I think Jack's had the better career.
I'm going to take Tommy Hawkins' consistency. Now, this subject, this topic segment's become so popular. We've got people starting to send
stealing
in
it.
The question.
Oh, so, this 7 is bad. AFL doing the old
this
pick one
bad.
These days.
I know. They're
I saw that. Anyway,
the original and the best. So this comes from Nick Coombs. He wants to know from you, Joe. He asked this last night. Who is the better player? Pick one. Jack Graham. Or Mitch Robinson, who would you take of those two?
Is in right now?
Tomorrow, for a game tomorrow. Jack Graham or Mitch Robinson. Nah. Who's the better hard nut?
No, I'm going to take Jack Graham. I think Jack Graham is an underrated player. I think he'll be captain of Richmond. Absolutely. I think he's a beautiful finisher. He runs hard. He does a lot of stuff that gets unrecognised, I suppose, on the TV screens and for teams, but I think he's an absolute beauty.
Joining us right now is the great Lemo. Good morning to you, my friend.
Oh, where's my music? Here we are. Oh, yes. Come on.
Wow.
Oh, there we go. Fire up, people. We're in lockdown 5, so now we can talk about lockdowns like Rocky movies. I've got 5 of them.
Yes. Sequel after sequel.
Lockdown 1, we all enjoyed it. It was a real novelty. Everyone got on board. It won a bloody Academy Award. Lockdown 2 was the sequel that went for way too long. Lockdown 3 was a bit of fun. Lockdown 4, everyone went, why? And now Lockdown 5's a bloody joke. No one likes Lockdown 5.
A couple too many.
It is a bummer.
They never know when to stop, do they? Let's just hope we don't get to the Fast and the Furious with these.
7 or 8? What are they up to?
I think they're up to 9,
are
actually.
It's a lot. It's too many.
Whatever it is. Police Academy 7, Mission to Moscow. I think that was an overreach from that franchise.
Real highlight.
Okay. Another massive week in sport, though, despite all the COVID madness that's going on. And I want to talk you through the just three stories this week, the good, the bad and the ugly from my perspective. Mm-hmm. We're going to kick it off with the good, the UFC on the weekend. And I don't want to talk about Conor McGregor and that broken leg. Oh, do you have friends who send you those video clips and go, oh, check this out?
Yep.
I just have no stomach for it. I can't watch a bloke breaking his leg inside the octagon.
Me neither.
But how's the Aussie heavyweight Tai Tuivasa? Are you across his form?
No.
He was actually played for the Roosters when he was younger in the NRL. And then he's a big unit, isn't he?
He is 130 kilograms of heaving joy. He's still got some pretty reasonable skin folds, this young fella. He's not your lean UFC fighter. He's from Sydney, though. And I'll tell you what, he is becoming a legend in the UFC. You know, normally with your walkout music in UFC, everyone tries to be a bit tough. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of hip hop or it's some heavy metal or whatever. Well, 130 kilograms of Tai Tuivasa from Sydney walked into the octagon to this song on the weekend.
I like it.
That is brilliant. It is their best song, isn't it?
Oh, it's an absolute cracker. He's walked out to that song, then he's knocked out his opponent in 1 minute, and then he sat on the fence of the octagon and done a shooey. And I thought, well, you bloody legends, look at that.
That's awesome.
Spice Girls knockout shooey. That is how you impress
a
crowd.
That's a trifecta. That is a
trifecta. And then he spent the weekend in Vegas doing shoeys everywhere.
Mm.
How this bloke isn't crook is beyond me.
He's a buck 30. That's why, mate. He can handle all this.
He really is. So that's the good of the last week. The bad, the Aussies aren't doing so well. As you mentioned earlier, guys, the Aussies aren't doing so well in the West Indies. Chris Gayle, after in game 3, hit 67 runs off 38 deliveries. He's hit 21 off 7 balls this morning. But Chris Gayle, post-match interview, no one talks about himself in the third person quite like Chris Gayle does.
When I got back into the West Indies team against Sri Lanka, I was trying to, you know, play a different role rather than, you know, play Chris Gayle himself. So I was more like, on the team side, I'm a more team person. Don't mind the numbers, you know, Chris Gayle not getting the runs, you know, soon to be 42. You guys should be happy to see Chris Gayle on the field still. And, you know, just hopefully Chris will last as long as possible and just cherish those moments. Commentators, don't put up no stats about Chris Gayle, don't score in a half century. Just respect the universe, boss, and let him play him cricket and have some fun. And just enjoy the moment with Chris Gayle, you know, with a strong West Indies team.
Wow!
Oh, yeah.
You reckon he's happy with himself?
Chris Gayle's pretty all over Chris Gayle. I gotta say.
That's pretty gross, isn't it?
He is loving Chris Gayle's work. But how's his respect the universe, boss?
Yeah. Called himself the universe, boss.
One of the great nicknames, isn't it? I mean, imagine if you're going to come up with a name for yourself, universe boss probably right up there.
Boss of the universe. Do you reckon, though, when they're in its, you know, Marvel and these sorts of superhero places and they're brainstorming new names for heroes, do you reckon someone said universe boss and everyone just laughed and went, that's not going to cut it. We're not going to make a superhero out of universe boss. And finally, guys, the ugly of the week, the Tokyo Olympics. I mean, this is, how many Stephen Bradbury's are there going to be at these Olympics because of people getting COVID and just falling over?
That's a good point.
I tell you what, now's the time. Gamble responsibly, by the way, and I'm not really into gambling, but if you want to get some long odds,
get
in now on the Olympics because a lot of people are going to get COVID and drop out at some point. But our very own Alex Diminor got COVID and he's had to pull himself out of the Olympics. Very sad for him, very sad for him. But good news, guys, we've announced a replacement. Alex Diminor at the Games. Well, we're running out of tennis players. I haven't even heard of this bloke, but he's a furniture removalist from Sydney. And they are going to rush him up there to replace
Alex. Too soon.
That'll be the only thing that'll stop Djokovic winning another medal or another tournament.
Limo, he'll be into that Djokovic. He's all about the Canadian players,
it.
Remember?
He'll hang out with him.
Yeah.
He's mad for it. He loves a super spreader event. None better than the Olympics.
Oh, it's good gear, Limo. We absolutely love it.
Thank you, guys.
If you have any more bets for us for the Olympics as well, send them through. Gamble responsibly.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Jay, I've been looking forward to this all morning. This is just going to be the highlight of our week. You spotted something Thursday night that really caught your eye.
I was working with Andrew Embley doing the Thursday night preview on Triple M, of course, and he did his top five teammates to take on a footy trip. And, we'll ask Joey Montagna in a second, get his top five, but this was Andrew Embley's number one teammate to take on a footy trip.
Michael Gardner, definitely without doubt, the first picked on a football trip. Now, he used to cruise around Bali with his Bintang shirt on and the singlet. Anyway, he used to call everyone horse. Hey, horse, horse, horse. And one of the young boys said to me one day on the football trip, he goes, why does he keep calling me a horse? He had no idea who anyone was.
He was a bit of a king of West Coast and St Kilda, Joey. Who makes your top five is Michael Gardner?
Certainly not Gardy because he's a menace on a footy trip. See, that just shows the difference between the West Coast Eagles level of footy trip and our level. That Gardy's number one. I wouldn't take Gardy. He's a menace on a footy trip. But I've come up with my own five. Put this together. So at number five, I have to bring Rui, the skipper, because you always need a guy on the footy trip that's the organiser. Yeah. Because when you go to an airport, you start drinking. No one keeps an eye on what time the flight is or how we're going to get to the hotel room, who books the hotel.
Yep.
So that's Passport. Rui. He was the organiser, the leader. Yep. Plus, because he loves his food, right, and you're going to see him on Celebrity MasterChef, he organised dinner every night.
Rui's got the bookings.
He's the guy that does the bookings. Yeah. None of us want to eat. He does dinner. But then what happens is we all get up and just start wandering off and Rui gets left with the bill. So Rui was always the guy that fixed up the tab. He always complained. He's like, guys, it's $80 a head. And he'd always end up 400 short. And we're like, Rui, shut up. You've got enough. You fix it up. So Rui at five. Plus, he'd be a bit sensitive if I left him out. So Rui gets it at five. Now, number four. A lot of people might not remember this guy, but Michael Ricks. Big Ricksy. Big 6'5". Beautiful man. Couldn't play footy. He was no good as a player. Right. But he was one of the guys you needed to take on your footy trip because he was the nicest guy that we ever played with. Really? He's a lovely, gentle soul.
Yep.
And you need the caring type that when stuff goes wrong or when people are in places and being dangerous, you need someone that just keeps an eye on everyone and makes sure that they're under control. And he was a really Lovely man. Plus, he was a big glamazon, so he drew the women. If we're on the he was the one that was like the draw card, the big 6 foot five,
the peacock,
good looking peacock. And he was a bit rare too. He was one of those sort of humorous guys in a real subtle way. Like one day, quick story. He brought down to the poolside a mannequin. He found this female mannequin, and he named her, dressed her, and she came out with us every night. She was came part of the footy trip. It was a random one, but Michael Richards came in at four. At three, you had to have Lenny Hayes because he was Mr. Perfect. But when he was up and about on a footy trip, he was underrated. He was a star. He was one of those blokes that would be surprisingly the last man home.
I didn't see this
And surprisingly the first man up at the pool the next day. He was underrated. He was our spiritual leader. And when he was up and about, and when you look around and Lenny's in a good mood, it just lifted everyone else. So Lenny was like...
You're a bit flat after a big night.
And, and he was the one that just... He was a professional off the field and professional footy club, but then on the footy trip, he was a pro. He just knew the rules. He knew to be the last one to go home. He knew to be the first one by the pool bar. He was good value. At number two, it had to be Milne. Because Milne was the one that, when we say the organiser, really organised all the logistical stuff. Milne was the organiser of all the games and all the votes and all the skits and everything that we did. It was all Milne. He had to be in control. He called himself Senior Milne, Grand Poobah. Everything had to go through Milne, right? He was the centre of attention. So you've always got the one guy that is the centre of attention. Everything has to go through him.
The goose.
We stroke his ego. We let him, you know, organise the games and come up with the rules. But we needed him because he would do our heads in, Emma. He would be so annoying at times. But you needed that guy that was just always full of energy that could just lift everyone when you were hungover, particularly on about day four, five. He was the one that could spark. And number one was his right-hand man, was his sidekick. That was Stevie Baker. And when Bakes and Milne worked in a tandem, there was nothing funnier and more entertaining because Milne could egg on Bakes. Bakes would always deliver. He was the guy that you could put any dare to. Get him to do anything, he would do it. He was just the most rare unit. So he would be the guy, Emma, Stevie Baker, that would come down to the pool bar in his, like, red Kmart jocks because he couldn't find his bathers. So he would just sit by the pool and we're like, mate, are you really wearing your Kmart red jocks? By
the way, like, Calvins.
He would just do whatever. Like, he was just random. His other one, quickly, he used to get really bad eczema. So drinking wasn't good for his skin, right? And he gets really bad eczema. But as if he's going to not drink. So he would literally, this is true, he would literally wrap his hands up in face washes and tie them up because in his sleep, he wouldn't be able to scratch his face off because he would wake up look like red raw. So he would sleep with face washes covering his hands. He was just a rare unit. But you needed Stevie Baker on a footy trip. It just would not be the same without him. So
good top
Bakes
five.
And Milne, they were the two at the top. Lenny was the surprise packet. Rixie was the beautiful man that you needed to look after everyone. And Rui was the one that paid for everything and organised everything.
Well done, Joey.
Can we do your journos after the break?
Journos.
Top can you come up
journos.
With it in 3 minutes?
Oh, this could get me into trouble.
Let's do a little bit of prep. We'll do that after the break right here. Triple M's Dead to Legends.
Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
Do it yourself because this is a fun one. This is a fun one. You get the little bit the magic zipper wand from Bunnings. And you go over there. It's like a sword.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
We've just heard Joey's five players he would take on a footy trip. Just a quick recap on them, Joey, because they were excellent choices.
Yeah, Rui, the organiser who paid for everything because we left him with the bill. Rixie, who was the lovely man who made sure everyone was safe. Lenny was the underrated star. Milne and Bakes were the tag team, the tandem two that worked in together. They were awesome. Bakes was the greatest footy trip player person you'd ever want to go away with.
Sammy Fisher? Just didn't make the cut?
Nah, he went off and did his own thing a bit.
It's a lone wolf.
One of those ones you see the next day.
What did you do last night? Okay, righto, mate. Hey, Jay-Z, we asked for your journo edition. I'm nervous for you because I feel like this could have great ramifications if you get it wrong. Right. Who's on the list?
Yeah, all right. I'm going to start at number five. Now, this bloke's a bit of a dark horse, but he's immense value by the name of Sam Landsberger. Now, we covered a few drafts up in the Gold Coast back in our sort of younger years, and it's fair to say you don't need to sleep to be able to cover the AFL National Draft or so history will say. Now, one time he'd left... his Gold Coast hotel in such a hurry to catch the plane that he actually forgot his shoes. So I had to get to the airport first, go to one of those little souvenir shops and buy him some thongs, hand them over the security checkpoint for him to be able to get left on the plane. Now, he went up to the hub last year in up there in Queensland. I'm reliably informed he was best on. So Sam Landsberger.
Good morning, Sam.
Absolute star performer he is, and he'll be happy with this. He'll be nodding his head listening. Now, next I'm taking it, number four is Glenn McFarlane. A bit like Rui. You know, if someone needs to be bailed out in the morning, that Glenn McFarlane's there for you. Or if you need an orange juice at 10 o'clock in the morning and you don't want anyone to know, Macca can ferry you that orange. So yep. He's probably the father of the group. He's the safe one. He will look after you. If something goes real wrong, like if you end up totally nude without your clothes or
Glenn's
something, you can count on Macca. So he'll enjoy that one. Now, number three is the chief, Mark Robinson. So on day three, when maybe the group's feeling a little bit flat, or you need someone to sort of lift the singing, bring out the 80s music, organise a pool competition, Robbo and Full
Is this Robbo's in his like wheelhouse?
Yeah.
Oh. Really?
Karaoke's his go, isn't it?
The man can sing and you're arm in arm and you might be standing on tables.
Wow.
It's all that sort of stuff. So he is great value when things are really going up a level. You need that bridging guy. So you need the leadership too with the chief, Mark Robertson. Now coming in at number two is Mick Warder. So one of the best journalists in the country. He's just released his book, of course, Fiercely Independent. Now, if someone needs a few home troops, Joey, if you need someone to sort of fire up or make a controversial call or a ruling on a game or something.
Bit lippy on the Terps?
Mick Warner does not care. He will just say whatever. So you need Mick just to sort of keep everything in check and to, if someone needs a good rev up, Mick's your man.
He's got
to
be careful.
That.
He doesn't have too many skeletons in the closet too, Mickey Warner.
No. someone will be back to bite him. Yeah.
No skeletons, but he is outstanding value, is it, Jerno? On the footy trip. But the number one, and to be honest, it's probably daylight second, is Dave Davutovic. Now, this is a man, I'm not sure if he's like the king of Croatia or he's been banned from Croatia, one of the two, but he certainly lit up all those islands they have over there. He's dominated every single one over a 15-year period. You would have seen his work on Optus Sport down there.
I saw it last week when he was getting swarmed, right?
Yeah, that's the element.
But some of the best TV of the year. So there is no better value on a footy trip than Dave Davutovic, and he is the clear number one. But that's the top five. Sam Landsberger, Glenn McFarlane, Mark Robinson, Mickey Warner, and Dave Davutovic. I feel like you're having a good time with us, Joey.
Fair enough. Sounds good.
Isn't this nice reminiscing about footy trips and, you know, holidays and stuff, and we're all sitting here with our masks on and thinking about when this...
Don't let you... I reckon our footy trips would be better than this.
Yeah.
The Dead Set Legends. Triple M. The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell. Now, he featured on my top five footy trip teammates, Nick Riewoldt, but I'm going to have to give him a spell because he's done the Celebrity MasterChef. It's going to air later in the year. But now he's already started this reality TV stuff where he's posing in all the social pages. He's posting a lot of photos on Instagram, going to the opening of all these events. Oh, give me a spell, dear. Rui. Just be careful. Don't turn into one of those reality TV stars. Just keep a low profile. I know you love the experience of the MasterChef, but he's in the social pages again today. His Instagram's now filled with all that sort of stuff. So give me a spell, Ru.
Oh, I love the teammate spell. Mine is actually going to the Instagram page of 7AFL. Now, I noted about a week ago, I saw a little thing pop up, and it was a photo of Sam Walsh in one circle and then Darcy Parrish in the other and on a little tile. And then the caption says, pick one.
Oh.
And then a couple of days later, there was another one. Same thing. Circle of Jordan DeGoey and a photo of Jake Stringer. Caption, pick one. Well, I have noticed that since those popped up last week, they have since ceased on the 7AFL page because maybe they have taken a little bit of notes of copyright infringements from JC's award-winning segment on this program.
Received the legal letter?
Yeah, there's been some high-level talks, it's fair to say. I mean, if you're going to steal my segment, at least call it something else. Give me a spell. That's extraordinary.
Curious mouth.
Hey, my one is, you're not allowed to, this is quite extraordinary, some scientists in Australia basically made the ruling, Joey and them, that you're not allowed to call shark attacks anymore, that they, for the benefit of the image of the sharks.
What are you going to call them?
Negative encounters.
What?
Or an interaction with a shark.
Hey, they have got excellent PR going with the sharks.
What's that?
They're good PR for the sharks at the moment. They are employing the best, if that's what they've come up with.
Who sat down and had a cuppa with the sharks and said, hey guys, just want to discuss your image. We're going to call it something different now. Hey mate, where's half your leg? I had an interaction with a shark.
It's a negative encounter. Come on.
Real negative. So give me a spell.
Absolutely give me a spell.
Shark-friendly types.
Yeah. Just go away. Hey, let's do this.
It's Triple M's Dead Set Legend of the Week.
Hey, Em, I know you're doing all your prep for the Olympics, and if you do anything for the gymnastics, we know about Simone Biles. She's an absolute superstar, the greatest of all time in gymnastics, probably almost, you could argue, the greatest athlete on the earth at the moment, with probably Serena Williams and LeBron and Roger Federer, a few others. But I've just seen this, and this is putting her in GOAT status and why she's a dead set legend of the week, because they are capping the difficulty rating of her skills on the floor gymnastics because she's that so much better than everyone else. They're trying to cap her difficulty rating to give anyone else a bit of a chance to try and compete with her. That is GOAT status if they are changing the rules for one person. So Simone Biles, she's the dead set legend of the week. She's going to win a whole host of gold medals again. But how can you be doing that? Capping the difficulty
it's
rating.
It's to give me a spell and a dead set legend
is,
all in one, isn't it?
So Simone Biles, keep an eye out for her at the Olympics, because she is an absolute freak of an athlete.
And you going to steal his material, Em? Now, is that you going to go with
Thank you for the research, Joseph. I appreciate that. I'll add that to my notes today when I'm sitting in front of the races having a... Actually, can I just give one last give me a spell?
Yep.
Wayne Carey, give me a spell.
What happened?
Last week, we dished out a couple of tips just between the group of us.
Yes.
And Duck got on board.
Big
and
time.
Where's the text to thank me for the great work that we had put into getting those tips up and about? Because I hear that Duck walked away with a pretty penny in his pocket. So.
Well, Em, Duck, you're sharing that now on air, but you didn't give the tips on air. You kept them to us off air. So the people listening...
Shut up, Joey.
Well, you're the one that just... You just outed yourself. Everyone off air listening's going, well, where were the tips on air, Emma? Have you got one today then, Emma?
Okay. Let's go to Randwick. This one's probably on the shorter side of things, but in race 7, Great House at $2.80. Okay, I know that's short, but, you know, maybe a good thing going into today. Okay. Hey, shall we just take a look at the footy quickly? A couple of games today that are of interest, starting off with the Saints taking on Port Adelaide.
Well, to be quick, Carlton Collingwood is the most intriguing one for me, Joey. How would you know who's going to win that game?
No idea.
Who are you tipping?
Probably Carlton.
Why?
Because I think they're a better team this season than Collingwood. But no confidence.
Yeah. Bulldogs with Aaron Norton and Josh Dunkley back.
Win comfortably.
They would have the big win over
there. They'll win comfortably. I think there's a good bet. The line's about 24 points. I'd be taking the Dogs over 24.
What about the Saints hosting
That's
Port
a 50-50.
Adelaide?
That's a beauty. Yeah. St Kilda can easily win that. They're in form. They're playing well at Marvel. Port Adelaide, if they're legit and they want to be a chance for the flag, they need to win today. That's a great game. Looking forward to that.
I think Port Adelaide, when they go back to... Adelaide, they have to isolate for 48 hours, 2 days. I have a negative COVID test amongst that. So some tight restrictions around the Port Power Plays M.
The Sydney Derby, also a lot of ramifications there with GWS and the Sydney Swans with those. It's so tied up between 7 and 12th at the moment. Anyway, it's coming on after us. The Saturday Rub, James Brayshaw, Wayne Carey, Bernie Vince and Damien Barrett from Marvel ahead of St Kilda and Port Adelaide. Their guest today is Jack Graham. As always, wall-to-wall footy coming up today and tomorrow on 105.1 Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day. So, in the words of Corey Homicide Williams,
you have a great day.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
And it was a great week, wasn't it, Joey?
I liked it. I did like my own work this morning.
That was good.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Listener app.